Well, the phrase Generation Y first appeared in August of 1993. In that age, it was an editorial describing teenagers of the day. They defined as different from Generation X, then aged 11 or younger. So here we are, where they basically say the millennials start at 1982, which is when my son was born, starting that birth year, and then 2004 as the last birth year. But who are the millennials, and what do they mean to us as a society? In a moment, we check in with Jake Ducey. His work is called The Purpose Principles, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let me tell you a little bit about Jake Ducey. He's a leading generation of millennial thinkers, ditching that traditional playbook on life, looking for a fresh perspective. At 23, Jake published a couple books. He gave a TED Talk, and this year he is embarking on a 60-city, three-country tour of his new book, The Purpose Principles, to mobilize his generation to take matters into their own hands. And here he is on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jake, welcome.
Hey, George, thank you for having me.
So how old would you be?
How old would I be? I would currently be 23 years old.
You're right in there then. My son, Jake, was born in 1982, so he would be the first of the millennials based on everything I've read. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds right to me. I mean, I think if you Google it, depending on what website you go, the year changes every single time.
So what does it mean by the millennials? I was a baby boomer. My daughters were another one, Generation X. You're a millennial. My son's a millennial. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, I think that's the way that they like to put tabs on all of our different generations. But from my understanding, it's kind of the age range from about 16, 17 to about 35 years old. And I think the really beautiful thing is we're really the generation that grew up with technology. And, you know, under 30 years old is about half the world's population. And I think that this is a generation that's really taking the future for better or worse. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity that we've been able to grow up with technology for the opportunities that it gives us in order to share messages.
Jake, I think the media is totally wrong when they think the millennials are what they call the lost generation. I mean, when I look at kids your age and young adults your age, you know what? I think we're in great hands for the future.
I agree with you. I think it's a pretty stark thing to say, considering we're not the generation that's almost going on the Third World War and has dug up most of the natural resources and is building walls and armies bigger and bigger with further and further economic debt. So, you know, I think that the reason we get that wrath often is because young people are really, they're not interested in the traditional model of success, and they don't want to engage in the same way that previous generations did. And so I think the only thing to do is often to criticize what we don't quite understand.
Most millennials are going to be strapped with some huge college debt, student loans. How is that going to affect what you guys and you gals are trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's fair that, you know, it's $1 trillion in this big college debt bubble. I think it affects, definitely, I think people of all generations on various debts, whether it's college debt or it's other debts. And it definitely puts us in a position where oftentimes people feel they get out of school and they either need to take a job they don't want to get, and they get stuck in that mold. But I think really young people are seeing through, let's work for 40 years so we can pay off all of our debts and buy this thing and buy that thing. So while there is this huge debt, I think there's also this underlying intensity of interest for young people to explore more deeply of who they are and why they're here and what life is about.
Are other millennials in other countries, do they all feel the same way as those in the United States?
I think that there's a general consensus. I traveled around the world a bit, and I think there's a general consensus that the world as we know it, the way that our parents and grandparents grew up and raised us into isn't the world that we want to continue to recreate. I think that young people around the world are often looking at these increasing wars and increasing problems, and they're asking, there has to be another way.
As a millennial, what do you see as some of our biggest issues right now?
I think there's a lot of issues. I think that firstly, considering the young people, I think that it's wrong to tell people that if you're not going to college, then you're probably not going to succeed. Basically, if you don't go into economic debt to learn something that's pretty much not going to help you get a job, then you're not smart. I think that's a major misconception. So firstly, I think that if we're going to be going to school, why don't we instead cut this military budget and start helping out young people to go to school if we want to encourage them to go to formal education systems? I think that we need to end the Federal Reserve System. I think all the trade organizations need to be dismantled. We need a WEO, a World Environmental Organization. And most specifically, I think the biggest concern is that we're teaching young people that the most important questions are circling the bubbles on exams. And really, I think they're filling the blank questions like, what do you desire? What are your interests?
So you were born in 1991?
91, correct.
Okay. So 10 years later, 9/11 occurs. You're a little 10-year-old boy at the time, but do you remember it, and did you understand it even at 10 years old?
I actually remember exactly the morning. My dad woke me up at 6 a.m. I was in fourth grade, and my dad said the World Trade Centers have been bombed or exploded, and I didn't know what that was. And what I do remember is that we were a generation taught and accustomed to war. They would televise that on TV. We watched. I remember sitting in front of the television where they would broadcast it like the Super Bowl, night vision bombs blowing up towns,
yeah,
and
that's
blowing
right
up children. So I absolutely do remember it very, very specifically.
You know, I was born in an era where I was 13 years old, Jake, when President Kennedy was assassinated. I was 19 when we landed on the moon. So I've seen some incredible things in my life. For you, in your young 23 years, what would you say is one of the most incredible things that you've witnessed at your age? Sadly, it might be 9/11, but I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say, I think it's a beautiful question, and I'd say that the most incredible thing that I experienced was I dropped out of school as a 19-year-old, and I decided to travel around the world. And while I was in Indonesia, I was traveling with some locals, where here we are, we're way up in the rocks, climbing up on the mountains, on the outskirts of civilization, it's pouring rain, and I slip, and I fall.
Ugh.
And I can see my life flashing before my eyes, these questions like, did my life matter? And when I hit, I creviced in between two rocks, covered my head. When I opened my eyes, my legs were bleeding. I could see, okay, my arms, my legs are working. One of these guys, I don't even know, jumps. He jumps after me.
Ugh.
And I started crying on the spot. And this guy I didn't know was willing to risk his life in pouring rain, jumping in the middle of nowhere. There's no paved trails in Indonesia. And that changed my whole life. That made me realize, man, the joke was on me. I was traveling around the world looking for something when really it was about coming back and sharing my gifts with the world. And that's what prompted these books that I've written and was really the cataclysmic moment that made me realize what my life was about.
During almost half of your life, you've had nothing but wars and wars and wars to deal with, to hear about constantly, almost every day. Does that break you down?
It doesn't break me down because these aren't wars that our generation are created. I think these are wars for profit, territory, and religion, and whatever else that previous generations have created. I think while this is happening, you know, of course, we've already seen that anger and fear are the most viral emotions. There's scientific studies that show these things are increase the highest ratings. So of course that's going to be on the media the most. While it's disheartening to see this happening, I think on the other spectrum, there's a whole movement amongst young people and others like yourself and many of your listeners here that want change and are seeking change. And there's a lot of beautiful things happening. You know, we can go onto YouTube and type in something other than war, and we can find a lot of great people doing incredible things. And I try and highlight in that in my book. I share the story of a 9-year-old that's went and built over 150 schools and put in over 10,000 books to kids who can't read. So there's a lot of great things happening in the world too. Of course, it's saddening to hear about these things, but I believe that it's we can look at it two ways. What's the worst that could happen, or what can this call us towards, propel us towards? And I think it's asking us all to really step into our power to make this world a better place.
I remember when I was younger than you, and one of the big issues was racial integration. And, you know, we had school busing in those days, and I don't even know if you know what that is or not, Jake, but in those days they were court-ordered, where African-American youths were bused into white suburban schools, and the white folks went crazy. They went nuts. They didn't want black kids coming into their school at all. But the theory was is that those kids, white and black, would understand each other, would get to know each other, and so that the next generation, they'd be a little more comfortable, that racism would start going away. I think that worked. Some of the older folks are still holding on to some of the older beliefs, but I think it worked. Now, you're 23 years old. How do you look at that?
Well, firstly, I was just thinking in my head with picturing you guys on these separate buses, and firstly, it makes me really grateful, you know, that we didn't grow up like that. And secondly, in your conclusion, my response to that would be, you know, in the same regards to there was almost this reconditioning and reprogramming that they were trying to attempt within young people that it's okay for mixed races to be together. I think what that makes me think of is that there's also this reprogramming that's occurring when we're seeing half of our parents being divorced over money issues and everyone trying to climb this corporate ladder that didn't work out. I think there's this reprogramming that's now occurring where young people are starting to, as I was mentioning, I think they're starting to wonder what else is out there besides the accumulation of stuff and climbing the corporate ladder. So I draw an analogy because I believe that equally there's this kind of reprogramming amongst young people where there's a change in perspective that's happening beyond just racial standards. I think also if you look at young people, if we are speaking about race, like my friends don't see the difference. One of my best friends is African American, and my friends and I, we don't see any difference between that. So I do believe that amongst young people that this change has occurred.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing. You're in an era of high technology where we didn't have this in our days. Heck, we didn't have computers until later on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to have one of the first cell phones. They were like these big Motorola things that the Army used to have in warfare. You know, they looked like those big old walkie-talkies. I remember having a phone built into my car. I thought that was so cool when I was running one of my businesses. You know, I had my antenna on my roof of my car, and I had the cell phone attached to the car. We had beepers, right? The pager you'd look at, and there was a phone number. And if you remembered who the phone number was from, you knew who they were, but that's how they would get a hold of you. You're in an era now where technology is simply amazing. I mean, information is fast. Twitter's there. Facebook's there. Snapchat's out there. Instagram. How do you look at technology today? And could you guys make it, millennials, without it, if they took it all away?
Well, I hope they do not take it away. And the way that I look at it is, I think just, you know, people will say, well, it's destroying the world. And I think, you know, I think everything is a bit of a double-edged sword. And I think the beautiful thing about technology is there's clear-cut examples that this world can change in a lot faster time than we think. Like, regardless of what someone thinks of the Kony 2012 documentary, in like 48 hours, that thing got around to like 100 million people.
Yeah.
And so I think it's this incredible opportunity for this number of people that want change and believe they have something to share with the world and they aren't sure how to do it, to get online and to start making an effort to share your gifts, whether it's music or whether it's blogs or whatever it may be. There's this opportunity for us to reach hundreds of millions of people. It can happen so easy, and there's no way for whomever it is that doesn't want change to occur, there's no way for them to stop it. And so what I believe is this incredible opportunity, and that's why I'm so optimistic about the future. Could we make it without it? I'm a bit of a delusional optimistic, so I would like to say yes regardless. You know, change is happening. This is happening. There's no way to stop it. They can keep pumping all the money they want into politics to try and stop it, but they're not going to stop it. There's too many people that see through the illusions of old, and there's too many people that want to know why they're here, and they want to create a better world.
Jake, have you been out to dinner with young people your age, and everybody at the table is texting away to other people?
I have, absolutely, but I've also seen that within 50, 60 year old as well.
That is starting to as well. We're with Jake Ducey. His book is called The Purpose Principles. And tell us about the title. How'd you get it?
Yeah, well, I believe the greatest form of activism is purpose. And I believe that when we're living lives that are centered in something that we stand for, that change can occur. So to me, the purpose principles. And so the books, the stories of success, failure, and common threads between some of today's biggest difference makers. I was originally inspired by Jack Canfield, who wrote the Success Principles, the Chicken Soup for the Soul books.
Good guy.
He wrote the foreword to my book.
Oh, did he? He's been on our show before. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Jack actually inspired the book. And so part of it was really, you know, calling it the Purpose Principles. And I believe that the next step beyond success that our generation is seeking is meaning. That's a subtitle, How to Draw More Meaning in Your Life. And so I highlight all these stories of people from across the board today, and the goal is really to see ourselves in the same light as the world's difference makers. That's what the book is about, and that's the response that I'm receiving from people reading it. So the purpose principles, I believe when we're centered in our purpose, big companies, when enough of us are like, hey, Nike, you know, we really like your stuff, but come on. That's enough with like all the slave labor. That's enough with destroying the environment to make these products. When enough of us do these things, I believe the corporations will change. When we're really centered in our purpose, when we're centered in what matters to us, when we're going after those things, I think teen suicide rate will drop. I think we'll no longer be at this incredible rate of psychotropic prescription drugs between all ages. I think that that's how change will occur. I think that, you know, there was a recent Gallup poll which 75% of people said they're actively disengaged from their jobs. That's 3/4 of people that don't like their jobs. That's this thing we're doing for most of our lives. I believe that when we have a purpose-centered life, when we're doing things we love, things that are exciting us, or just stepping out of our comfort zone, that's when the world's really going to start to change. And so that's what the book's about. That's what inspired it, is these purpose principles. Is like,
Hold on for a second, Jake. We're going to take this quick break when we come right back. All right, would you like a jump start on next year's Christmas holiday music? You can do that because still the Holiday Magic Co-Style CD is available to you if you go to our website, and it won't be up there much longer. Click the highlight reel. It'll take you to Amazon.com, and you could order the CD where proceeds are piling up for veterans charities as well, with so many people simply donating their time and their efforts to get this CD done. You can pick it up at coasttocoastam.com. We shall take your calls next hour with Jake Ducey, and specifically too, if you were born between 1982 and 2004, if you're 10, call us. We'll get you on. Jake, when you travel around the country chatting to people, what do you tell them primarily?
Well, especially when I go talk to young people, I think the media does a great job of showing what influential or achievers or difference makers, showing their successes. We don't understand, especially as young people growing up in this entertainment-dominated culture, that a lot of these people failed a lot to get there. A lot of them don't have the qualifications to be where they are. The Beatles were denied by Decca Recording Studios, who said they were unfit for show business. Richard Branson, who started Virgin, he is dyslexic and dropped out of middle school. I want them to know that they are as capable as the people that they admire, that they aren't different than these people, and that the real way that we're going to feel successful, feeling fulfilled, is really going after our dreams and not letting them being silenced. And that's what my tour is about this year, and that's really the common message that I share with young people, along with my story and the stories of a lot of the people that I write about in the Purpose Principles.
What questions do they ask you? What are they interested in?
What questions do they ask me? Well, one of the really common questions that I get asked is how do I start if I want to write? How do I start writing? And I think that we can get so caught up in our minds when we want to, you know, go after a dream or we want to make a difference, whether it's a book or whether it's a nonprofit or whether it's traveling, whatever it is. We get so caught up in our minds about how everything needs to get placed, how everything can take place. And all I do is I sit down and start typing. I think how is a really big question. And I think that when we can understand things in simple terms, a lot of change can occur. Another thing that I get asked a lot is what should I be asking myself? And a common question that I like to ask young people is, what would have to happen 1 year from now for you to look back and say it was your most successful, your most fulfilling year yet? I think that we're always told what to do, and we're never stopped to ask ourselves what we want to do. What do we desire? So those types of questions are often ones that I ask when they ask me questions. I often return the question.
Are most millennials scared about the future?
No, I don't. I think that they're uncertain, and our society hasn't done a good job of giving people alternatives that don't want to follow the prescribed path. I don't think they're scared. I think that they're a bit confused, and I think that I've been really blessed to have the opportunity to show people. I've been really blessed to have Penguin Random House pick me up and Jack write my foreword, and I'm not special, though. And I think when young people see me, they're not like, oh my God, it's that kid. They're like, oh my God, I can do that. And so I think they're not scared. I think that they're unsure. And so I think that it's a really great opportunity. We're on the cusp of something really big here as a generation.
When you wrote The Purpose of Principles, what message were you trying to convey to people?
The message that I'm trying to convey to people is that the current definition of success that we have is broken, and that our world can be changed and is being changed, and we can do that. You can create a better life going after your dreams. You can become the person that you want to be, and that one of the most important qualities of that is action and rejecting rejection. And I say rejecting rejection because I believe that it's not about being fearless. It's about being courageous. That's what the book is about. It shares a lot of these stories, but then actionable strategies and tools that we can implore in order to go after these goals and dreams and interests that we have.
When young people get together And do they kick things around like the income tax? Do they talk about the political spectrum? What do they discuss in groups?
I think that they don't kick around income tax, but they do talk about the political spectrum. You know, I was just 2 days ago, I was with a bunch of my friends, both men and women, that are all millennials, and we sat at a really big table at a coffee shop that fit like 7 or 8 people, and we all had our computers, and we were all working on our own stuff. And I think that one difference between young people is that there's not that much sitting around and politically talking back and forth about everything that's going wrong. It's more like, hey, man, I've got this new video idea. I got this new idea. And it's like there's a lot of back and forth creative energy. One thing is for sure, young people aren't engaging and they aren't voting and they aren't doing this and that because they feel that the system is broken. And so they're not talking that much about what act in the next midterm election is going to create the real change. Young people just believe that it's BS, that we're being taxed this much and it's going back, our income tax is going back into wars. Just if you ask young people these things, it's this common, I think that's dumb. And instead of this huge political talk, I think young people are looking for an alternative way in order to just really, I think, find happiness within themselves first.
I was going to say, are they happy now?
I think a lot of them are. I think there's also a lot of young people that are confused. You know, I think it is, make no mistake, we're at an extremely high rate of teen suicide.
Yeah,
I think
that's sad.
When I do go into schools, though, and I talk to them and I share these stories about these familiar faces, but these unfamiliar stories of how they created their dreams, they always start to get it. And so I think a lot of young people are either really excited about their life they're created, or they are utterly confused. And they don't want to do what their mom and dad are telling them they should major in, but they don't know what to do, so they're doing it.
So with these young people, will they get involved in politics? Not just voting, and they're holding back now, but I mean, will they be front runners one day?
Well, it depends on, I believe that change, I think what young people are interested in is being involved in cleaning up their communities more so than dressing up to run as a career as a politician. And so I think the answer is yes, but the answer isn't yes in the traditional sense. I think they're less interested in politics as we know it, and they're more interested in creating a better world as we know it, engaging in our communities. I think that, you know, from the Warped Tour to Jack Johnson, one of the, you know, most famous acoustic musicians who's really big in the millennial culture, he has this huge nonprofit sector where all these kids come and they sign up. Young people want to be involved in things, so I think that that's occurring for sure. But I think that it's going to be a tough time for young people to go into the traditional political sense. I think that there's going to be a lot of mass systematic changes that are just naturally starting to occur. It's kind of like, you know, Henry David Thoreau talks about how government as we know it is tradition. And it's like, what else is tradition? Well, Santa Claus is kind of like tradition. Once we grow up a little bit, we don't believe in it anymore, but we may go over on Christmas and mom will still write something from Santa Claus and we still smile and we open up the present.
Sure.
And I think the same thing is happening as young people are starting to grow up and they're starting to see through it. And I think that the answer for us to create change beyond politics is becoming more and more self-reliant, developing our character and developing and understanding how powerful we really are, because we're more powerful than we've been led to believe.
Are you concerned as a group about the economy, about jobs?
I think it's super concerning, George. I think that, man, it's a serious, the economic system is broken beyond repair. I was studying economics as a freshman in college, and I was like, I wanted to know why we can't audit the Federal Reserve as a freshman in economics.
Yeah.
And my teacher said, this is what's in the textbook. We're not having an open discussion. I said, well, if we're not going to talk about how we can create a better world and all we're going to do is memorize economic theories, I don't want to be in this class anymore. And so I think that that's a predominant thing, is that young people are concerned about jobs. I think young people are concerned about the distribution of wealth. I think that they aren't extremely well versed on it, but I think that doesn't negate the fact that there's this underlining understanding that things aren't right, that this can't continue the way it is.
How do young people feel about law enforcement, police?
Oh, man, I think that, well, I think New York is showing us a perfect example when all these cops aren't showing up and being as engaged and the crime rates are lowering. I think that a lot of young people, you know, officers, there are a lot of great officers doing a lot of great things, but I think that there's also this underlying sense within young people that they don't want to be controlled. And in the media, we're seeing a lot of excessive force within officers. So I think that young people, man, I don't know any 18-year-olds that are looking to become police officers. I know a lot of them want to be peacekeepers, whether that means wearing a uniform or not. So I think that across the board, there's going to be great systematic changes that we're not going to be able to comprehend. And I think that being a peacekeeper, whether it's in a uniform or not, is something that I think young people are interested in.
Here's the amazing thing, though, Jake, about all age brackets. We all go through, because I've witnessed it, we all go through almost the same type of chronology. I remember growing up in the 60s, people were protesting the Vietnam War. They were upset with certain other things. There were demonstrations on college campuses. We had a shooting on a college campus by law enforcement, by military. I think that every generation has its own formula, and then they age. They get older, and they kind of fit back into the pattern, into the mold, until the next generation comes up. So I would guess that you millennials will eventually become like the previous generation or the baby boomers, and things will get done, things will change, but that you all evolve as well.
Well, I totally understand that, and I respectfully disagree, because I believe that the world just can't go on the way it's going on. It just can't.
We said that about World War II.
Well,
and look what happened.
We're getting in closer and closer to more and more destruction. I think it's a totally valid point that you're sharing, but I like to believe in something different, that something different can happen. And I really believe and hope that this is a time. Are there a lot of signs that it will level out, as you're saying? Yes, but I believe that maybe you and I can work on one of those Adam Sandler click things, like those remotes that stop time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe my generation won't age, and we can be able to create the necessary change.
I thought I'd never age, Jake. And when I was your age, I thought 30, 40 years old, 50 was so far away. Let me tell you something, Junior. It goes fast. The clock ticks really fast. Just remember that. Just take this words of wisdom from old George. One day when you're in your 50s, you'll say, God, I remember that talk show host guy said it was going to go by fast. He was telling me the truth.
Well, hopefully we can talk about it again sometime soon. But, there is a part of me that is like, man, maybe change isn't going to occur. But there's this other part of me that's like, man, it just can't keep going on like this. And I think that more and more people are awakening to the famine and environmental destruction and political corruption. And beyond all that, I think people more and more are just awakening to wanting to know themselves on a deeper level. And I believe that this revolution is really firstly an internal one. It's going to be a nonviolent one, I believe. And I just I like to hold the vision that this generation can really pull it off.
You know, I'm out here in Los Angeles right now, and we run into all kinds of people from all walks of life. People from China, people from Russia, people from the United States, from other states, Canada. Everybody's here, and there's a common denominator, Jake, with all these people. Nobody wants wars. None of them. And, you know, it's these politicians that keep pushing us, these big corporations that profit on wars that keep pushing us. But by and large, people of most age brackets, yours, mine, nobody wants wars. I don't want to see my kids go to war. I don't want to see their kids go to war. It's the politicians. These are the people we got to get to.
Yeah, no, I actually look at that like a positive. I think it's awesome that there's so many of us actually live on the street where the Hollywood sign is. So I hear somebody that's speaking a different language every day snapping photos. So I can relate to the fact that there's people from all over the globe around with these common feelings. And so I think that the first step is so many people believe that they're powerless. And I think that
Or they don't make a difference.
Yeah, I think that, and that's why I wrote The Purpose Principles. That book is, you will read that book, and you will say, MLK did that, Rosa Parks did that, whomever did that, the Beatles did that, I can do it. Taylor Swift, I can do it. And I believe that the more and more slowly we start to understand our power and our capabilities, that's how we're going to take our power back from this selective groups and forces that want something else. And so that is what I believe the change maker is understanding how powerful we are.
There was a guy once who simply said, I'm not going to vote because my vote is not going to make any difference. The person he did not want elected won by one vote. What does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean, I think firstly, beyond the one thing we know is that these seats are being bought. And I think secondly, I think what's more important than voting is being actively engaged within our communities. And I think that looking at a lot of these little things, like I'm from a small town called Encinitas in San Diego, a beach town, and we don't even have recycling bins at the beach. Like, just these little things are really important.
Sure.
California.
That's common sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's a lot of these little things beyond just voting a representative. I think that the representation system is outdated and needs to be changed. I think that it is crazy, you know, that these guys can get into office when we think that, and gals can get into office when we think that our vote doesn't matter. But beyond all of that, I think that, you know, we need to understand that change is coming in on small levels, from teachers really caring about their students. I think that
Well, they all do. Jake, hold on. We're at the top of the hour, which means we're coming back with phone calls.